Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Trail Magazine is one of the most widely distributed climbing magazines. The February 2004 issue provided directions for climbers descending Scotland's highest peak, Ben Nevis. Returning from the 4,409-foot summit in bad weather requires explicit instruction. The article gave step-by-step advice on navigating the trail down. The problem was that the directions were wrong. Roger Wild, the mountain safety advisor for the Mountaineering Council of Scotland, discovered the mistake and immediately contacted the magazine, and he wrote this: "The potential consequences of following the advice provided by Trail Magazine are clear. Anyone following a bearing of 281 degrees from anywhere close to the summit landmark will be taken directly over the north face." I find it incredible that Trail has published advice which is so obviously and dangerously wrong. Trail Magazine admitted that a crucial step and a sentence was missing in the instructions, which were mistakenly omitted. Those following the article would pay a high price for the missing information. In poor visibility, climbers depending upon the directions would walk off the edge of a 1,000-foot drop, one of the longest in the United Kingdom. Spiritually speaking, there are many false ways and lies and errors that lead to death, the second death of the lake of fire. But Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. And believing in Him, we find the truth that leads to life eternal. In this episode of our series, Who is Jesus?, we will see that He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verses 1 to 4 read, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." In the previous chapter, as the Lord and His disciples were in the upper room and after they had eaten the Passover supper, the Lord gave the disciples some troubling news. He first told them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And then He told them, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." And then He told Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." After receiving all this troubling news, the hearts of the disciples were troubled and perplexed. They did not fully understand what lay before them, but the Lord tells them here, "Let not your heart be troubled." The simple but profound solution to the troubled hearts of the disciples, and for us too, is believing, to just trust the Lord. As the Lord told the disciples, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Christ told the disciples to trust in God and to trust in Him just as they trusted in God. Because He is God, Christ told them to have the same trust in me as you do in the Father. Belief in Christ is not something additional to faith in God, it's the same thing. This is a strong claim to deity by Christ and a statement of equality between the Father and the Son. The disciples could trust Him, and they could fully believe and rely on what Christ was about to tell them as that it was coming from God, because Christ is God Himself. And what the disciples should trust to comfort their hearts was, In my Father's house are many mansions. To understand this well-known verse, we need to place ourselves under Israel's future hope and calling, and not ours. Our hope is heaven. And so most interpret this verse in light of our hope of heaven. Israel's hope was a glorious, everlasting kingdom to be established on the earth with her Messiah reigning over them from Jerusalem, ruling and reigning over the entire world. My Father's house is defined for us in this very book. Earlier in John, when Christ drove out the money changers from the temple, he said unto them that sold doves, "Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." So we learn that the Father's house here in John 14:2 is the temple. Christ is addressing his disciples who were troubled about Christ leaving them, and so he comforts them with truth concerning their future hope with him. And their future hope with him, the Messiah, was in the millennial kingdom after Christ's second coming to Israel. Thus, my Father's house refers to the millennium, refers to the temple that Christ will have and reign from in Jerusalem in that future kingdom. And in that future glorious structure, my Father's house, are many mansions, Christ said. A man had a rich friend who owned multiple mansions on vast properties. When he went to visit his friend's mansions, however, the buildings were dilapidated and broken down, and everyone there had bad etiquette. He reported back to his friend that although he had many very impressive properties, overall, he had very bad manners. These mansions in verse 2 are most often interpreted as glorious mansions in heaven above that await the believer after they die. However, the Greek word translated as mansions simply means dwelling, residence, abode. In verse 23, Christ told his disciples, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." The word abode in that verse is translated from the exact same Greek word as mansions here in verse 2. The picture that Christ painted of his future millennial temple is that of a huge building with many rooms and abodes and dwelling places in which people will reside, and the disciples will live in some of them. In the previous chapter, after the Lord told the disciples he was leaving, Peter asked him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" And the Lord answers that question here. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Christ was going to the cross. Christ's death for the remission of sins at the cross prepared believers to join him eternally in his kingdom. Christ's death, burial, resurrection, his victory over sin and death gave the kingdom saints a permanent place in his kingdom forever. And the Lord said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," meaning through his death and resurrection, after which he would depart out of this world unto the Father. Then, as the Lord said in his parable of the 10 pounds, where it says, "He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." In that parable, Christ is the nobleman. The far country is heaven that Christ went to when he ascended and departed out of this world unto the Father. When it is time in God's plans and purposes, Christ will receive for himself a kingdom from the Father. Daniel wrote of this, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Christ will receive the kingdom from the Father's hand, and then he will return. As the Lord told his disciples, I will come again. So he goes to prepare a place for them at the cross. He would depart this world to the Father, and he will come again. He told his disciples that his departure was certain, but his return was just as certain, and that they should believe it. As he said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. This return of Christ is not the rapture of the church to catch the members of the body of Christ to heaven, which takes place before the tribulation. This return of Christ is the second coming of Christ to Israel when he returns to establish his kingdom on the earth. The Lord told the apostles that after he returns at his second coming, he would receive them unto himself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where the Lord Jesus Christ will be, where he will live and reign when he returns at his second coming, is Jerusalem in the temple. Thus, along with the high honor of sitting on 12 thrones, judging and ruling over the supreme nation of the world, the disciples will live in the millennial temple with the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where Christ will be after he returns to Israel, and that is where his disciples will be also, with him. So when Christ said, let not your heart be troubled, he assured and comforted them by their millennial hope, and of his return to Israel to establish his kingdom in their permanent place with him in it when he reigns. Christ then told the disciples, whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Christ had often told the disciples that he was going to die and rise and return to the Father. In Matthew 20, 17 to 19, he told the disciples, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Christ told them that they knew where he was going and the way he was returning to the Father, that it was through being betrayed, delivered to the Gentiles, and being scourged and crucified, and that he would rise again. But as Luke 18, 34 reminds us, the disciples heard it when the Lord told them about the cross and his resurrection, but they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Thus, Thomas here had a question for the Lord. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Christ told them that where I go ye know, and the way ye know. And then Thomas sat there and he admitted to the Lord plainly that I didn't have any idea where he was going. And if they did not know where he was going, then they definitely did not know the way there either. Christ was going to the Father. And thus he said, for any man to go to the Father like he was, it had to be through him. He's the way to the Father. Christ is the way to the Father. He's the truth to believe. And he is the life through whom believers receive eternal life and an eternal relationship with the Father. A way is a path or route. Christ is the pathway to God the Father, salvation, and eternal life. He's the one that bridges the vast gulf between God and mankind and brings man to God. The Lord Jesus is not just one of many or other ways to the Father. He is the only way. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ does not just show the way, or he doesn't just know the way. He is the way, because salvation is in a person, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the truth, Christ not only teaches and taught the truth, He is the truth. He's the very embodiment of truth. As the truth, all that He is, all that He does and says is truth, including His words, "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." In this context of Israel's program and the gospel of the kingdom, the truth here concerned His person and identity, the truth that He is the Messiah of Israel and the very Son of God. Those who believe in Christ believe in the truth. And to believe in Christ, the truth, is to receive life, because He is the life. John 1:4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." He's the source of all life, physical, spiritual, and eternal life, and all believers live through Him. All three descriptions of Christ in verse 6 are dynamic. The way brings us to God. The truth sets men free from their sin, and the life provides eternal life with God. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." At the burning bush, God revealed Himself to Moses by the name, "I am that I am," a name that declares that He is the eternal, self-existent God. When Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," He was proclaiming His deity, that He is God. He was rightly claiming God's name. And as the I Am and the Son of God, it is He who provides the way to God the Father, which no one else could possibly do. He is the single and only way to God through the Son of God. And He, the I Am, the Son of God, is the truth, who perfectly proclaimed the truth and message of God and gave knowledge of God, being God Himself. To know Christ is to know God and to know truth. And as the living and eternal I Am and the Son of God, He is life, and He exclusively holds access to eternal life, and He provides life eternal to those who believe. He is the life whereby we live eternally. Who is Jesus? He's the I Am, the Son of God, who is the way, the truth, and the life. "And no man cometh unto the Father but by Me," Christ said. He's the only access to the Father. Christ, faith in Him, is the only way to come to the Father, to be able to enter and dwell in God's presence forever. In the future eternal state on the new earth, the new Jerusalem will descend from God out of heaven to the earth. And Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Through Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, because of Him and His shed blood, believing Israel will come to the Father and have continual access to His presence on the new earth in the new Jerusalem eternally. For us, the church, the body of Christ, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For through Him," that is Christ, "we both," that is Jew and Gentile in the church, "have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We have access, and we come to the Father, and we will dwell in the Father's presence in heaven eternally, and it's through Christ. In verse 7, Christ stated, "If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him." After referring to coming unto the Father, Christ told the disciples that in knowing Him, they knew the Father. Christ came into this world to declare and reveal the Father. John 1:18 says, No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. To know Christ is to know the Father. And to see Christ is to see the Father, because of their perfect oneness and unity in the Godhead. Then by his death and resurrection, followed by when the Spirit came and taught them, the disciples would know and see the Father also through these things, as they were reminded of the things that Christ taught and showed them. John 14:8-11 says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. After Christ's words that ye know him and have seen him, Philip made a request, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, or we will be satisfied and contented. The word show calls for a display or demonstration. Philip wanted a personal revelation of the Father. Like in the past with Moses, who asked the Lord to show me thy glory, Philip wanted to see a glorious glimpse of God the Father. But for over 3 years, they had seen a glorious glimpse of God the Father. Every single day they spent with Christ was a glimpse, and they saw the Father. Philip failed to understand that Christ had already revealed the Father by his words and works. Thus, with a gentle rebuke, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? This reminds us how the Lord had to be patient with the disciples. It took time and repetition to get truth through to them. But we're no different than them, and it often takes time and repetition for the truth of God's word to get through to our hearts as well. Philip had been with Christ from the very beginning of his ministry, but he had not yet grasped the full significance of Christ's person and life and what it showed them. Everything the Lord Jesus was and did and said was a revelation of God the Father. The Father is completely revealed in the Son. And this is so because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the Son of God. Like Christ told Philip here earlier in John 12:45, the Lord said, And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. The Lord appealed to Philip to believe in his perfect union with the Father, that he is in the Father and the Father is in him, and to believe because of his words and his works. He told Philip that the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Earlier in John 12:49-50, Christ said, For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Christ's words and teachings demonstrate who he is and are the Father's declaration of Christ's identity. Over and over, Christ called God his Father. He said again and again, he was sent from God in heaven. He said that his Father was greater than all, and then he said, I and my Father are one, because he too, like the Father, is greater than all. Christ claimed the name of God, that he is eternal, when he said, Before Abraham was, I am. He told the healed blind man that he is the Son of God. He told the woman at the well that he is the Messiah. He explained his authority as the Son of Man to be the judge of all. He taught that he had the power to lay his life down and he had the power to take it again and to rise from the dead. He taught to honor the Son is to honor the Father. To hear the Son is to hear the Father. To see the Son is to see the Father. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the bread of life. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And on, by his words, we learn who he is. Not only did his words demonstrate who he is, but also his works. The Lord told Philip, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. And some of those works are he knew things about people whom he never met. Telling the Samaritan woman at the well that she had five husbands and was living with a man who was not her husband. He saw Nathanael sitting under a fig tree before he ever came to meet the Lord for the first time. At the wedding of Cana, he changed the water into wine. From Cana, he healed the nobleman's dying son in Capernaum from a distance. The pool of Bethesda, he healed a man, told him to pick up his mat and walk. That man was lame for 38 years. He took five loaves and two fishes and he miraculously produced and multiplied and fed 20,000 people. He comes down off a mountain on the stormy Sea of Galilee and he walks out to the disciples in the middle of the sea. He healed a man that had been blind from birth. He goes up to Lazarus's tomb and he raises him from the dead. And on and on. And the greatest work of all that showed who he clearly is that after he died on the cross, 3 days later, he stood up in that tomb. And he came out of it in victory and power. All these things, his words and his works, tell us who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He is her King. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. It can't be said any better than Thomas after he saw the risen Savior. Jesus is my Lord and my God.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.